Our seventh president, Andrew Jackson, once said that the Bible is the rock upon which our republic stands. The late Dr. Donald S. Lutz of the University of Houston said to me one time in an interview that all the founding fathers, even the handful of a couple liberal types, knew the Bible. All of them knew the Bible down to their fingertips. Well, fast forward to today, and we see that not as many Americans are diligent in studying the Bible. Meanwhile, in other places around the world, there's a hunger to know the Bible and to be able to read it. And lately, there are even reports of Muslims fitting in that category. We're going to talk right now with Dirk Smith of the Eastern Europe Missions, and we're going to talk about hunger for the Word of God in our world today. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Dirk, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Jerry, great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Sure. I want you to go ahead and just set the table for us in terms of hunger for the Word of God in our day today, including in Eastern Europe and other areas where your ministry impacts.
Yeah, we've seen it. EEM is a ministry that we publish, print, and distribute Bibles and Bible-based materials. Last year, 36-plus nations, 32 different languages. And so we've seen this take place in other parts of our footprint that we're in. And one of the areas I was first introduced to this probably back in 2015 or 16 was in Greece. And it was when all the refugees were pouring into Greece, and interacted with a number of them. And we began hearing about the dreams that they were having. And this was leading them to Jesus. So, and I'm sure listeners have heard this, read this, heard about it.
Just to clarify, you are talking about Muslims coming in to the Western world.
Yes, these are the Middle East refugees that were pouring in. If you recall, they kind of got their way to Turkey, and they would get on those boats, and they would come over to Greece. And so I interacted with a number of people from Afghanistan and Iran and Iraq and lots of the other Middle Eastern countries, and we began hearing about their dreams. They've been dreaming about Jesus, and he's been coming to them in their dreams, and thinking that, wow, you know, this is the thing that is bringing so many of these Muslims to Jesus, to Christianity. Well, earlier this year, I was in Cyprus and got to be with a gentleman who has spent a good part of his time researching and living amongst Muslims. And he just happenstance said, well, Dirk, you do know what the number one reason that Muslims are coming to Jesus is, don't you? And I was about to say dreams. And he said, no, we've all heard about the dreams. But of the five top reasons that they're coming to Jesus, that's number five. You know what number one is? And I said, no, I don't. He said, it's scripture engagement. If they get a Bible in their language, they are coming to Jesus. That's the number one reason they become Christians. And I thought, wow, now that speaks to what we're experiencing in other parts of the globe that we're blessed to work in. We're seeing people hunger. And of course, it's what Jesus says. When the soil is good, it's receptive, he's going to grow. It's going to grow. And that's what's taking place in this part of the world, and in even with the refugees that are pouring out of, when they get a Bible in their hands, in their heart language, they come to Jesus. And so we want to talk about how mystical and bizarre the dreams are, and that's kind of fun to talk about, but we forget how mystical and powerful God's Word is, and how His Spirit is going to move through hearts that are receptive, no matter who they are.
I'd be kind of curious, since I'm sure you know the Bible very, very well, are there certain books of the Bible that are more, you know, favored by the Muslims themselves in terms of, you know, the writings of Scripture? I'm just curious. I'd like to hear you.
As a matter of fact, we've heard a lot of talk about the Gospels because that's where they're introduced to Jesus. they hear of Jesus and they know of Jesus. And of course, when you talk to somebody who was former Muslim, they will let you know very quickly, Allah is not God. He's not Yahweh. These are different gods. And so they're introduced to Yahweh through Jesus and who Jesus is, and they see this loving God who came to earth, who died for us, who calls them to do very different things and to be very different than Allah of the Quran does. And so the Gospels is where they tend to hang out. I remember visiting with a gentleman in Greece. His name was Yasser, and he was from Afghanistan. And his wife had picked up a little New Testament that we had provided. And he came in. They were refugees. They're living in this little shack of an apartment. And he sees this sitting on the end table of their little apartment. And he picks it up, and he says to his wife, Zara, if you don't destroy this and get rid of this, I'll have to kill you, or at the very least, divorce you, which would have been death in their culture. And her words I loved. It wasn't, I will not. It wasn't defiance. It wasn't anything like that. It was, I can't. I cannot. I can't put it down. And his words then later were, he picked it up later only to try and disprove it and to show her that she was wrong. And he said, Dirk, the words of the Gospels consumed me. They absolutely consumed me. I couldn't put it down. So I think they relate to Jesus and they fall in love with Jesus, which of course could be our story as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's so amazing to hear about the power of the Word of God in our modern world. Tell us more stories. I mean, this is fascinating, because I was going to ask you about the opposition. I'm sure some of the imams are not happy with these developments.
No, but it was interesting. In Cyprus, we had a lunch gathering that was established and set up by he's actually the bishop of the evangelical church. And he has befriended the imam of the largest mosque on the island of Cyprus. And he came to lunch. And I'll never forget, as he departed, he shook my hand and he said, it's been so good to meet you. Keep doing what you're doing. It's important work. I thought, okay, you do know that I'm all about distributing Bibles to people who are asking for them, right? And so it's an interesting, interesting situation that we see happening. But to speak to the power of
just to clarify that story, you're saying the imam was saying, keep up the good work. The imam said that to you.
Yes, the imam shook my hand, which, yeah, I mean, Jerry, that's just, I didn't know what to do with that. I mean, I obviously looked at him and said, I will. Absolutely, I will. But one of the stories that came back, we were in Kazakhstan, and there was a young woman there in Kazakhstan who, at a very young age, she had done something wrong and she got put in prison at about 15, 16 years of age. And there were some Christians who wanted to reach out to the prisoners because they knew that the prisoners, it was a harsh prison environment. And so they came and they said, hey, we want to donate, toothpaste and soap and shampoo and things to the prisoners, because they knew they weren't getting that. And the prison said, no, you can't just give them. They have to work for it. So you have to figure out something that they have to work for. So they thought, and they said, okay, we're going to write down words on pieces of paper and ask them to memorize them. And if they can recite them back to us, then we'll give them the soap. Then you all can give them the soap and the toothpaste, et cetera. And the prison people said, okay, that's fine. Well, what did they start writing on pieces of paper? Scripture. And this young woman, when she read John 3:16, she said, you mean God loves me? Now, Jerry, this is not a Bible. This is scripture written on pieces of paper. But it so convicted her. It just crumpled her to tears. And now today, she and her husband are engaged in the same type work ministering to prisoners in these prisons in Kazakhstan. So the power of God's word is there. It just depends on what it falls on. So I hate to say this to those of us who call ourselves believers, if scripture isn't transforming us, maybe we're not good soil.
Interesting. You know, one of the most popular books in all of Western literature was Crime and Punishment, written in that neck of the woods, written by, you know, Russian novelist Dostoevsky, you know, back in the 19th mm-hmm. century, Crime and Punishment. But what's interesting, I don't know if you noticed this, but the very last paragraph deals with a Bible being found there in the prison, and it transforms the main character. And then the novel says, but that's a story for another time, but our present story's ended. Boom. I'm serious. Yeah. And it's like, whoa, what an amazing thing. You know? But it's true. The word of God transforms people.
Yeah. And, you know, in our country, in our nation, I don't know if you saw this report that came out, but Lifeway Research did some research. It's been probably 3-4 years ago now. But they interviewed, or they polled, church-going Protestants. That was the group that they said. And then they clarified that, or they qualified that and said, okay, if you're in this group, a church-going Protestant is defined as someone who goes to church at least twice a month. Now, Jerry, I don't know if you're keeping up with the data, but that's pretty much the A-team. I mean, if you're going to church twice a month, you're the A-team for God. And so this was the group that they polled. One of the questions they asked was, how often do you read your Bible? Now, I thought, okay, this is the A-team. They go twice a month. Every day was only 32%. Now, the bottom was rarely or never. And I thought, well, surely this is going to be 0% because these people go to church. Rarely or never was 12%. 12% of church-going Protestants rarely or never read their Bibles. So it's no wonder there's heresy being preached in many pulpits. There's people who just don't know how to defend their faith because they don't know the book. They don't know when to throw the penalty flag or the challenge flag out when somebody says something wrong because they don't know what's in the Bible. And it's tragic.
That is amazing. I'm surprised it's like that. What's amazing, too, though, is when you look at the studies, and this is, you know, this would be almost a divergent topic, but when you consider the history of how much the people who brought the Word of God to us in our own language sacrificed to do so, and I'm thinking of like William Tyndale and so forth, it's, you know, a shame on us for our laziness. Besides, I look at it like eating. If you don't eat, you're going to die. If you don't read the Word of God, you could spiritually die.
Right? Yeah, exactly, Jerry. And for those people, and let's go even further back. You got 12 guys who died for this. I mean, they died for the gospel. They knew it was true and wrote it down, and how important it was to people, our founders, etc., who were in it all the time. Now, at the same time, we look and we see people that we get to engage with, and these are people that are in God's word.
All right, and just so you know, we have 20 seconds to sum up. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. They have way less than we have financially. They have way less than, you know, we would say they are poor, but they aren't, Jerry. They're rich, and they are happy, and they have deep relationships. Why? Because their foundation is built on scripture. It's built on God.
All right, Dirk Smith, thank you so much. God bless you. And your website is?
EEM.org, if people want to learn about us. EEM.org.
Okay, thank you now. Bye-bye.